Welcome to episode number 461 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at TheSportsRPT. That's my handle on Twitter, TheSportsRPT. Always appreciate your feedback there. A lot of stories to get to. We are down to the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament. How's your bracket looking? Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. I'm doing okay, except for the East region. This is what I can do with that region. That's it, right there. Just rip it up. Yep, that is the East region for me. Believe it or not, I'm telling you the truth. You can check with my coworkers. I went 16 for 16 on day one. And I've been playing this thing for a long, long time for amusement purposes only, of course. I've never had a day where I went 16 for 16. It happened on Thursday, but by Saturday, things started to fall apart in my bracket. Lots of March Madness talk on the way. And it turns out that Jim Boeheim, the longtime Syracuse coach, isn't going anywhere. This is an odd story from upstate New York. We'll talk about my alma mater and what's going on there. Tom Brady's Super Bowl jersey has been found. Hallelujah. We can now all go on with our everyday lives. I mean, this story has been dominating social media all day long. It is all Brady all the time. But there is an interesting twist to this story. We will talk about Newman coming up, but not Seinfeld. And also the World Baseball Classic. The U.S. has a shot at this thing. The U.S. is in the Final Four. So a lot of stories on the way here on episode 461 of the Sports Report podcast. Thanks for tuning in. I'm in a better mood this Monday as opposed to last Monday because last Monday I knew the snow was coming. And I live about an hour from Philadelphia. Philadelphia did not get much at all, but we got about a foot. Some places north got 2 feet of snow. Not a lot of fun. So last Monday night, I actually ended up sleeping over at the radio station that I work at. Got the old air mattress out, and it wasn't a cheapie. It was a nice air mattress. You know, some of those things, they deflate after like an hour or two on them, especially if you're a bigger person, which I'm not. But this was a quality air mattress. So we made it through the snow. And it's going to be in the mid-60s here in southeast Pennsylvania on Saturday. So the snow is melting, and I am loving life. Spring around the corner, baseball coming up. Can't wait. But we start with college hoops here on the Sports Report podcast. You can also listen on iTunes. Just type in the Sports Report with Paul Roberts. Voila. And always on grizzlyproductions.tv. So Thursday and Friday, I kept hearing from my friends that the NCAA tournament is boring. I saw comments on Twitter about it. Where are the upsets? Where are the buzzer beaters? Where's the excitement? Well, there were upsets Saturday and Sunday and a few other very, very close calls for some of the big boys in this tournament, some of the traditional heavyweights. The number one overall seed and the defending national champ is out. Number eight, Wisconsin, knocks off Villanova 65-62. And if you go back and listen to my tournament preview special from last week, I did mention that a potential matchup with the Badgers could be troublesome for the Cats. Wisconsin is big, and more importantly, Wisconsin is experienced. There are some things that you just can't teach. Experience is one of them. Either you have it or you don't, and they do. And there is no way, and I said this last week, no way that they should have been a number 8 seed. I mean, that is a complete joke. That is a disgrace. And this is why seeds do matter. I have this argument every year with some people, and usually it's with people who aren't big college basketball fans, and they say, well, who cares? You know, just beat who's in front of you. And I get that. But teams like Villanova and Kentucky are getting really, really good teams in the second round already because the selection committee is clueless when it comes to seeding. Wisconsin, an 8. Wichita State, a 10. I mean, that is beyond ridiculous. And Villanova paid the price because of it. Wisconsin and Wichita State are 8 and 10 seeds respectively, and Minnesota is a 5 with one of their best players hurt, their top 3-point shooter hurt, and the committee does take into account injuries. Somebody want to explain that to me? Minnesota, a 5, and I hope you listened to my show last week because I gave you Middle Tennessee, and the line in Las Vegas told you to take Middle Tennessee. That was one of my upset specials. I also had number 11 seed Xavier. I had number 11 seed Rhode Island, and I had number 10 seed Wichita State. So that's 4 double-digit seeds that came through, although I don't want to take a lot of credit for the Shockers because they were favored against Dayton and favored by 6.5. So that's not really an upset. It's an upset by seed, but that's all. And that was just another mistake by the committee. So seeds do matter, and Wisconsin on to the Sweet 16 again. How sweet was that baseline spin move by Nigel Hayes? I mean, beautiful move. He called it his Jordan move when Jordan spun back baseline and then dunked right on the head of Patrick Ewing when the Bulls were playing the Knicks. But it was a great move. He scores with the left hand with 11 seconds left. And then Josh Hart, who has been such a stud for Villanova, he gets tied up, turns the ball over, and Chris Jenkins, who was the hero, made the game-winning three-pointer against North Carolina in the championship game. He just could not get out of his shooting slump at the end of the season. And in 2 games in the tournament, Chris Jenkins was 4 of 22. Ouch. Meanwhile, the seniors for Wisconsin, they have won 13 NCAA tournament games. And I go back to that experience factor, which is a big, big thing to look at this time of year. I mentioned Xavier, an 11 seed. Not only did they win, they absolutely destroyed Florida State, who was a number 3 seed, 91-66. I mean, this was a behind the woodshed special for the Seminoles. Xavier packed in his own and forced Florida State to shoot threes. And Florida State was 4 of 21 from beyond the arc. You know, whether it's high school or college, you got younger players, and they see a team playing zone, and all of a sudden the eyes get all big because they think, oh, now it's my time to show my jump shot off. And you can live by the three, and you can die by the three. And that's what happened with Florida State. 19% from three-point land, and that gets you shown the door. The Musketeers had no trouble shooting. They were 11 of 17 from three and 56% overall from the floor. Seminoles are a disappointment to me. I mean, there's a lot of size on that team. You look at that roster, physically, that looks like an NBA team, and they have a lot of talent. So Leonard Hamilton cannot be happy with how this season came to an end. I mean, they were not even competitive against a number 11 seed. Number 1 seed Gonzaga got tested by Northwestern. Northwestern finally gets in this year. Zags were up 22. Many of you probably turned this game off. And then all of a sudden, the Wildcats come storming back. And the crowd was going bonkers. I mean, they were loving it. Unfortunately, and I don't like to focus on umpires or officials or referees, you know, as the captain of the excuse police. I'm not one of those talk show hosts or one of those fans that just goes on and on and on making excuses. That's why we have a bazillion lawsuits in this country, because everybody makes excuses. Nobody takes responsibility. Self-accountability. It's lacking. But this call needs to be discussed here. Northwestern had all the momentum in the world. Uncle Mo on the side of Northwestern. And then the officials miss an obvious goaltend with Northwestern only down 5. So if they get that right, it is a 3-point game. What happened was Zach Collins from Gonzaga goes up through the net and hits the ball. Yet somehow the refs did not see it. Nobody saw it. So play continues, no whistle, and then Chris Collins, the son of Doug Collins, gets a technical foul. You ever want to be amused? Watch Doug Collins in the stand. I mean, this guy, jeez. He just cannot take the game pressure watching his son as the head coach. But Chris Collins was rightfully ticked off, and that killed the comeback. So he gets a technical foul. A tough way to go out if you're the Cats. Number 2 seed, speaking of Cats, Arizona. Also in the West region, Arizona got a scare from St. Mary's. The Gales up 10 in the first half, but Arizona shot 59% in the second half and won this one 69-60. 4 of the 5 starters for the Wildcats were in double digits, and that's one of the reasons why they are a tough out. Now, obviously, you have Trier back. He was suspended, missed a lot of time during the regular season. Very, very good player. But they have other weapons coming at you. So St. Mary's gave him a good run, but Arizona ends up winning by 9. And now to Sunday. Let's face it. When it comes to Duke, you either love Duke or you hate Duke. Am I right? I mean, there's no middle ground. There's no in between when it comes to the Dukies. The Blue Devils, 7.5-point favorites versus South Carolina, a team that had never been to the Sweet 16 since the tournament expanded in 1985. Never. And as I was looking at the game Sunday, if you're trying to find upsets, Duke, South Carolina, to me, was not one of them. It wasn't. And then the Gamecocks, right before halftime, they missed 20 of 22 shots going into the break. So they're down 7, can't make anything, and that's kind of their MO. They are real battle-tested, they're tough, they're hungry, scrappy, but sometimes they just cannot score. They were down 10 early in the second half, and I think this is another game most people thought, this baby is over. Forget about it. South Carolina is done. But under Frank Martin, and how about that outfit he was wearing? Wow. I heard some people saying it looked like he was right out of the Brady Bunch with that outfit. Man, oh man. He doesn't follow fashion. Fashion follows him. And I've always thought Frank Martin is more like a drill sergeant than a head coach. I mean, that's the type of guy, if you're ever on the wrong side of the tracks, you're ever in a bad neighborhood, you're in a dark alley, Frank Martin is a guy you want on your side, all right? You don't want him on the other side. I mean, that guy, man, but his kids play so hard for him. I don't know if it's out of fear or what, but they play hard for him. He is a true disciplinarian. Somehow, South Carolina, a team that struggles offensively, some nights to say the least, they erupt for 65 second half points. Now, if you've seen Duke this year, you know they are not a lockdown defensive team. And they really haven't been in recent years. They're just not great defensively. But South Carolina puts up double eights on Duke, 88-81. And I'll admit, I never ever saw this one coming. No way. Now, it helped playing in Greenville, but still. And Luke Kennard, who I thought was a player of the year candidate, he ends up going 1 of 6, only 11 points. Now, he's a left-hander, can score in a variety of ways, played really, really well in the ACC, 1 of 6 in this one. So the top 2 seeds in the East are gone. I've got 0 teams left in that region. Nobody. I do have 7 of the Sweet 16, which is not really good. And I'm wondering how you are doing. Do you have more than 7? Let me know on Twitter, @thesportsRPT. That's how you contact the Sports Report, @thesportsRPT. And remember, I was 16 for 16 on day one. So things can go downhill in a hurry. I originally had Arizona beating Duke in the Final Four, and I should have stuck to my guns there. I switched, and now I have no shot of getting both teams in a final. Carolina was my pick, by the way, to win it all. And we'll get to the Heels in a second. Midwest, #2 Louisville is home early. They were up 8 at halftime versus Michigan, a 7 seed, and then allowed 45 points in the second half. And Rick Pitino has to be off of his rocker about that, because he takes a lot of pride in his team's defense, and they switch things up. They try to disguise things. I wasn't big on the Cardinals going into this one, and the Wolverines are hot. They've won 7 in a row. John Beilein, I've talked about him for years. Very, very good coach. Very underrated. I think still underrated nationally. His club only had 6 turnovers. Value the basketball. Take care of the rock. That's how you win this time of year. You're going to miss shots. But getting good shots, getting up shots, as opposed to turning it over, especially live ball turnovers that lead to dunks and fast breaks the other way. Michigan handled the ball, and they win it 73-69. #1 seed North Carolina down 5, 3 minutes to go after blowing a 17-point lead to Arkansas. This was another game I did not think was going to be close. The Heels end the game on a 12-0 run and win 72-65. But if you just saw the final score on the ticker at the bottom of the screen, very, very deceiving final score. UNC was up 1 late in the game when Joel Berry, their point guard, who really did not play well in this one, he runs into the defender, who was Bailey. No call is made. Nothing. Not a block, not a charge, not a travel, nothing. To me, it should have been a block, because the defender was actually moving. He's kind of sidestepping a little bit. He wasn't squared up. I thought it should have been a block. No call. Let it go. And then Barry just stumbles and kind of chucks the ball up there. Kennedy Meeks, one of the big guys inside, he puts it back for a 3-point lead for Carolina. So a huge sequence in that game with 44 seconds remaining. Meeks ended up with 16 points, and my national title team is moving on. Barely, but moving on. Staying in the South, #2 Kentucky went down to the wire with the Shockers of Wichita State. This was a great game in Indy. Bam Adebayo, who is a big boy, 6'10", 260 pounds. I really view him as the X factor for Kentucky. When he's playing well, they are a really tough team to beat. You know about the guards that they have, Fox and Monk, but if they're getting something from Bam inside, look out. So he blocks a 3-pointer at the buzzer that could have tied the game. Big block there. He had a double-double, 13 points, 10 rebounds, and Kentucky got out of there with a 65-62 win. 3 years ago, you may remember, Wichita State was undefeated. I think they were 35-0, and they played Kentucky. Another great game, and they beat Wichita State by 2. So once again, Kentucky finds a way to knock off the Shockers, and that was also a second-round game. Head coach Greg Marshall does a terrific job there. You know, his team plays the game the right way. They play defense. They just have a way of grinding it out there. And they were right there with Kentucky. And I thought the line going into that one showed you that Wichita State was the play there. Number three, Oregon, nearly sent packing by number 11, Rhode Island. Tyler Dorsey nailed the top of the key three with 38 seconds left. And the Ducks rallied past the Rams 75-72 out in Sacramento. Dorsey was almost perfect. He was 9 out of 10. Not like me on day one. I was 16-16. You may have heard. But Dorsey 9 of 10. And he made 4 three-pointers, 27 points. He scored 20 plus now in 5 consecutive games. But Oregon was down 8 at halftime here. Danny Hurley, who is the head coach at Rhode Island, has done an excellent job. Rams did get off a couple of threes in the final 30 seconds of this one, but they missed them both. So their season ends at 25-10. But hey, 25 wins for Rhode Island, and they got their first win in the tournament since 1998. So good run against Oregon, but the Ducks advance. So let's run down the Sweet 16 matchups for you. We will start in the East, which again is the nightmare zone for me. You got an 8 seed and a 7 seed still playing. It'll be Florida, who is the number 4 seed. Now, I think an underrated team. People do not talk about Florida. They beat East Tennessee State, a lot of people were looking at, beat them by 15. Then they pounded Virginia. And I know Virginia offensively struggles, but they didn't even get to 40. It was 65-39 Gators. So now Florida will play Wisconsin, the 8 seed, who beat Nova. And then you have Baylor, the 3 seed, who had a tough one with USC. They only won that by 4. Baylor's a team, I've said it before, I just don't trust them in the tournament. But they're in a good spot here. Baylor will get South Carolina, who is the number 7 seed. So that's the East. In the West, you have Gonzaga against West Virginia. Press Virginia, as I like to be called, with that great defense under Huggy Bear, the head coach. They beat Notre Dame. That's surprising. Beat them by 12. I had Notre Dame going to the regional final here. But they lose 83-71. You know, Notre Dame playing really, really well in the conference tournament. Multiple threats offensively. But it ends up being West Virginia that puts up over 80 in that one. And then you'll have Xavier, the 11 seed, against Arizona. I have to like Arizona there. To the Midwest, Kansas beat Michigan State by 20. That was not a surprise to me. Big second half for the Jayhawks. Purdue over Iowa State. I thought when the brackets came out that if these teams met in round two, this was going to be one of the best games, and it was. This was a really, really good game. Purdue has so much size inside, especially with Caleb Swanigan, who is a double-double machine. They also have Hawes, the 7-footer, in there. Purdue won it 80-76. I really like Monte Morris, the point guard for Iowa State, but he is out. Purdue moving on. And then you have Oregon against Michigan, the number 7 seed. I almost took Oregon to come out of this whole region, but the injury to Chris Boucher, who's 6'10", can rebound, can block shots. Because of that, I did not have Oregon beating Kansas. But I do like Oregon to get by Michigan, and that would set up a matchup, I think, with Kansas. Now to the South, you have your top 4 seeds here. All chalk. North Carolina will play Butler, the 4. And UCLA, the 3, will play Kentucky, the 2. Now, they met back in December, and it was one of the best games of the college season. UCLA went into Rupp and won in a shootout, 97-92. So you have Ball, you have Leaf, you have Alford, you have Holiday. I mean, that's a team averaging 90 points a game. It can really, really score, and they will play Kentucky with Fox and Monk and Briscoe and Adebayo. So that is a great Sweet 16 game. I mean, those are two teams that have a chance to win a national title. I think there's about 7 teams that could still win it all. Those two, UNC, that gives me 3. Oregon, Kansas gives me 5. Arizona, Gonzaga gives me 7. And I don't know that anyone in the East could win it all. So I think there's probably 7 teams left that could win the championship. And I have North Carolina cutting the nets down out in Phoenix on April the 3rd. So let me know how your brackets are doing. And of the Sweet 16, the teams that are left, have you changed your mind at all? What do you think now? Who's going to win it all? Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Don't be bashful. We're on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. This is episode number 461 of the Sports Report podcast. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. That is GrizzlyProductions.tv. And in the podcast section of iTunes, if you have a second, we really, really appreciate those 5-star reviews. So keep them coming on iTunes. And of course, follow me on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Let's stick with college basketball news. Turns out Syracuse coach Jim Boeheim isn't going anywhere. In fact, he signed an extension that's going to run beyond the 2017-2018 season. They did not announce how long the extension is for. But all of this came down just hours after Mike Hopkins, who was the coach in waiting, he was going to be the guy, he decides to leave and go to Washington. It had been announced that Boeheim was going to coach through next season, and then he was going to be done. Well, according to ESPN, one of the reasons that Hopkins left was to relieve Boeheim of the pressure of having to retire. Hopkins had a contract that said he was going to take over after the 2017-2018 season. It was in writing. Now, in a statement, Jim Boeheim said, quote, "Mike received a great opportunity and we thank him and wish him the best. I'm happy to stay on to help the program and to continue the staff's devotion to success." Boeheim has been head coach for 41 years. Everybody knows Jim Boeheim. He's taken them to the NCAA tournament 32 times. Not this year. They end up going to the NIT. Here's my take on all of this. Boeheim decided, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not done. I'm not ready to retire. And the new AD, you know, is a buddy of his. So he decides to stay. And Hopkins says, you know what? I've waited long enough. And he has. He definitely has. And he left. So I can't blame Hopkins. Not at all. And Hopkins is a really nice guy. Very good recruiter. Good guy, a positive coach. He's like the anti-Jim Boeheim. Boeheim's a grumpy guy. He really is. You may not hear that from the national media bobbleheads, but he's a grumpy guy. I remember when I was up there covering one press conference after a game, literally one question was asked and he left. He just walked right out. One question. He didn't like it and he was gone. Just took off. There was a kid who wasn't playing much, and he was asked why, and he just left. That was it. So not real friendly with the local media up there. The national guys love him, but he's not like that with the local guy. But yeah, I mean, he's won a lot. Got a national title with Carmelo, of course. He's had some good runs in the tournament, including last year getting to the Final Four when they were a bubble team. And I think when you hear the name Jim Boeheim, you think Syracuse. They are synonymous. He is a lifer, and this is what he does. They say in boxing, fighters fight. Well, coach is coach. He's 72, but hasn't really changed. And for years and years and years, people up there thought, you know, Hopkins is going to be the next Syracuse coach. That's it. And then they had the contract. It was a done deal. Well, now he's out. He's out in Washington. So I was very surprised at this news over the weekend. Let me know what you think on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. To Tom Brady, Touchdown Tommy. His stolen jersey from the Super Bowl has been recovered. We can rest easy. It was found in possession of an unidentified member of the international media. Always got to blame the media, right? And this is not fake news. This is a real story, not fake news. The league announced that Brady's game-worn jerseys from not only this year's Super Bowl, but, and this is the twist that I referred to at the top of the show, not only this year's Super Bowl jersey, but another missing from the 2015 Super Bowl, both were found after an investigation led by the FBI. Jerseys were found in Mexico. Now, after the Patriots came back to beat the Falcons 34-28, Brady realized that his jersey was taken from a bag that he put in the locker room. And a week later, Robert Kraft, the owner, compares Brady's jersey to, quote, taking a great Picasso. Oh, boy. They love him up there. And hey, when you've won as many Super Bowls as him, why not? So police said the value of this jersey was $500,000, $500,000. Some of Brady's game-used jerseys from the regular season have been sold for about $50,000. That's how popular this guy is. Now, I don't know about you, but I will sleep better knowing that the jersey has been found. I was just surprised that there were two of them. And if it's the same media member, I mean, wow. I guess that takes some guts. I mean, you got away with taking one, and then you go back for more? You're going back a second time? Wow. Whew. Man, guts of a burglar right there, literally. Let's get to the track here on episode 461. Not a big racing fan. I prefer right turns every now and then. Just kidding. But we have to talk about Ryan Newman. No, not the Newman from Seinfeld. But you can definitely talk about him on Twitter if you want, because he's hilarious. But Ryan Newman won at Phoenix over the weekend. And this is significant. Why? He ends a 127-race winless streak. How about that? 127 races without a win, and now he gets in victory lane. He held off Kyle Larson, who finished second for the third straight race. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride for Larson. And Kyle Busch, who just doesn't seem able to catch a break lately. Kyle Busch ends up third. Busch and Logano. I mean, the storylines just keep coming, right? So Newman wins there. And World Baseball Classic semifinals. U.S. is in this thing. U.S. will play Japan Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern at Dodger Stadium. Japan is undefeated. Japan has not lost in this tournament, and they've hit 10 homers in 6 games. Tanner Roark expected to start for the U.S. Pitched well for Washington last year at an ERA under 3, 2.83. But his command was off in his only other appearance in this event. He gave up 3 runs in an inning and a third, and he had a couple walks in that one. So Roark will get another shot. Eric Hosmer has been red hot. He's hitting .381 for the U.S., has not struck out in more than 20 at-bats. So he's dialed in. The championship is at 9 o'clock on Wednesday. Okay, and if you haven't seen any of this, and I know it's tricky, the timing just is not good. I'd like to watch more of this too, but with other things going on, just poor timing. But there have been some fabulous games. I mean, there have been a lot of nail biters, several games coming down to the final at bat. And how about the catch robbing a home run that Adam Jones made? Unbelievable. Check that out on Google if you can. So it's U.S. against Japan Tuesday night in the semis of the World Baseball Classic. Hoping the U.S. can win the whole thing there. The championship again would be on Wednesday. If you're watching any of this, let me know. If you're not interested at all, Let me know as well on Twitter at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT on Twitter. That'll do it for episode 461. Have a great week, everybody. I'll talk to you again next Monday. Good luck with your brackets. Hopefully you're doing better than me. Especially in that dreadful East region. Oh, my, just ripping up. I'll be back next Monday right here on GrizzlyProductions.tv and iTunes.